I'm told the number one fear people have is speaking in public. It's the one fear I don't have. Join me for the Love Speak series, where we leave fear behind and we speak love. Loving our story, loving speaking, doing what we love, loving each other, and loving ourselves. Our stories are what connect us and make us better humans. So join me and my Love Speaks friends for some stories, some laughs, some inspiration, some speaker tips, and some unexpected truth. It's the Love Speaks series, where a little bit of love goes a long way.
Welcome to the Love Speaks series. Here's your host, Sally Lou Loveman.
Everyone, today we are speaking music. And as I'm listening to my open, I'm thinking, oh, I hope Val likes my music. But, you know, it's music that I can't just pick. It's music, you know.
That's it's a jingle. Free. It's a jingle.
And it's free. Right. The key is free. So today I am here with my friend Val Haller. And she is the founder and CEO of Val's List, the first music site specifically created to help busy adults like me and you keep up with new music. So basically, Val keeps us cool. Val began her business 10 years ago. Is
more
it longer?
Than, yeah. More I think than that. It's 12.
Yeah, yikes. I thought so. The math wasn't right for me. So Val began her business 12 years ago when she was, can I say your age?
Yes.
When she was 50. And today she is killing it. She interviews bands, covers press at music festivals. She launched a music club for adults, hosts live events, provides festival concierge services. She also launched a mobile app, Val's List Radio. And in her spare time, when she isn't giving concerts in her living room and other wonderful venues, she launched a music festival in Winnetka, Illinois, as an emerging artist showcase where she curates the music lineup for the fest. She lives her brand, and she is the coolest woman I know, and that is why she is my friend, so I can be cool too, and you can too, by listening to Val. I am so grateful that you're here today.
Thank you so much. And oh my God, I hope I can live up to this.
I just want to say I'm so glad I'm on your list. You know, to be on Val's List, I thought when I heard that, I was like, who is this woman? I love how like, ooh, you got to be on the list. But evidently, the list is for anyone, correct?
The list is for everybody.
So tell us about that.
I am very, very inclusive person.
You are.
And so the list originated as my playlist. So every week it was about the new bands that I put on the playlist. My playlists were they were my signature list. They were 13 new tracks that you probably haven't heard of. And then I always put track 5 and 10 would be a vintage oldie.
Something. And who are those? Who was a must?
Those are basically the bands that I grew up on. So I'd always throw a Petty in or a James Taylor or anybody because I have a very eclectic, wide range of music taste.
You do.
But it was always, those were always meant to draw you in or feed the comfort zone of people who are like, I don't know if I like new.
Right.
So I always wanted to put something familiar in there. I believe, honestly, that if you want people to try something new, lead them with something familiar.
Oh, what a great soundbite. You know, we were talking a couple days ago and you were like, what are we going to talk about? I go, I don't care. I don't know. You speak in soundbites. I'm good. Like, that was a great soundbite. And it's true.
The
familiar always brings you in to say, okay, I'm not scared. I can listen to Lake Street Dive, which happens to be my favorite new emerging
very good
artist, but they're not even emerging anymore. They're hot. They're really hot. Who's top of list right now for you?
Well, oh my God, you can't ask me that.
I have
too many new bands that I love, but
and you're like a mom because we'll get to that, but like you know them. Like they love you.
I know them because so many of them play in my home or sleep at our house.
Right. Which I can't wait to talk about.
But I have so many new bands that I love, and every day there are new emerging artists that are pushing out something new. And in this day and age of the internet, so many artists can just, you know, produce and put something out on the internet. They don't even need a record label.
Right.
So the challenge
just
for me,
just like us sitting here, I don't need a producer. I have a podcast. You can do
I know,
anything
you, go, girl.
You want.
You did it
right?
yourself. Yep.
I got nothing backing me. It's just me. And that's what people are doing.
You found this amazing space. Wherever we are, this is the coolest little cave
in
downtown Chicago.
Street Recording Company. And I knew you would like it because it's got filled with, you know, guitars and cool things. It's It's a music feeling. But that is what you just said is like, if we have a talent that is very love speaks, and I'm going to ask you, how is love speaking to you today? So that's your next question. But right now, how cool is it that anyone can go out and do what they love and do it on their own? They don't need to be called on to say, hey,
I know,
we're going to represent you.
Well, I think of two things. Back in the day when I was growing up, if you had an idea and wanted to launch it, you probably needed to know someone.
Yes.
You needed a connection or a contact. Nowadays, all you need is an idea and a computer. And I'm quoting Seth Godin, who's my favorite marketing guru. He said, nowadays, you need an idea and a computer and you can launch something, which is basically what I did. And my whole career and all of these cool things that have happened are sort of an accident.
No.
I have to write a book someday called Accidental Boomer or Backstage Boomer. The whole thing's an accident.
I like There's a Band in My Basement. It's my favorite book title. Please write it for me. Just write it for
me. We've coined that. So I hope to do that or a really reality show or something fun.
Well, I would love to watch anything you do. I love watching your stories. Congratulations on getting on stories on Instagram. I'm very proud of you.
Oh my God.
It's not easy.
They're terrible.
No, they're good. They're very good. No. They're funny.
My marketing person tells me all the time, like, it was good. No, it was good. And I said, it was so raw. Like, I honestly don't know what I'm doing.
We want, and you are raw. You're so real. When I met you 2 years ago, I went to see you speak. So I know a lot about your story just from that day. But then I started like celebrating anniversaries. Like, I've known you a month. I've known you because I think
know,
we met on like
so
March
cool.
1st. And I'm like, I've known you a year. Because in the years that I've known you, only two of them, you feel like I feel like I've known you forever.
I can't even believe it's 2 years.
I really
said
don't know.
Four.
It could be three, but I'm bad with
but
math.
But what's so ironic, and I told you this, you probably don't remember, but when I launched Vowsless 12 years ago, for years when I was making these playlists and pushing them out to the internet, people in our town kept saying, do you know Sally Lou Loveman? You have to know Sally Lou Loveman.
And people
and I
were
said,
saying that to
who's
me.
Who's this girl with the greatest name on the planet? And they said, she's with Oprah and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, of course, my team was like, you've got to get your playlist to Sally Lou Loveman. And I'm positive that I burned CDs and put them on your doorstep and ran away. Probably I dropped them and ran.
I would have known. I don't think.
Oh, I'm sure you
I've
get
lived
stuff
in too many houses. You probably had the wrong house.
I probably had the wrong house. But I'm sure you get pitched.
I'm the Oprah lady who always had her house on the market. Someone actually said that to me once. I'm like, thanks.
Oh, my God.
Okay, go on.
Well, I just wanted to say that whether you found them or not or stepped on them on your way out of your door or whatever.
I would never do that. I'd be so excited.
I also believe in karma, and I believe that things are dropped in your path for a reason. And I don't mean CDs dropped in your path, but I think we were meant to meet.
Absolutely.
And not back then, but when we met.
Well,
and because I think we got in the room and people had told each of us we should know each other.
I had it from Amy Kaplan, a good friend who knows you through the business world as she is in the music industry. And she said, do you know Val Haller? You need to know her. I'm like, that's it. I'm going to see you speak because I believe like anything like you go out, you see people who are, you know, doing the music thing. I go see speakers. I want to know who's doing what. And as soon as you spoke, I'm like, I love you. You are poster for Love Speaks. So tell me about you're 50 years old. You start this business because you, as a teenager or even younger, 6-year-old Val at Thanksgiving. So take us from 6-year-old Val to 50 Val.
People always ask me, are you a musician or did you start at a record label? Nope. I am a fan in the audience, but a really big fan. So.
Yeah.
For some reason, in my genetic makeup, I feel like there should be a soundtrack to everything you do.
Right.
So
isn't there? I thought there was.
Well, there is in my brain.
Mine
is in my brain. So I've been a huge, huge music fan. I think music sets the mood. It hits visceral parts of you that elevates a mood or comforts you when you're sad or motivates you when you have to do, you know, whatever.
I
think music plays a lot of roles. So I've loved music ever since I was little. And, you know, one anecdote that I say sometimes is literally I'm the oldest of five. My mom had five kids in 7 years.
Oh.
So we're all like the same age.
Right.
And in our chaotic Thanksgiving weekend, I would always go pull out the Christmas albums and start blaring them. My mom is a saint, tolerating all the noise and the extra level of whatever I was always bringing to the household. But to me, it was time to set the stage. The holidays are beginning and you got to have a soundtrack.
What was your album, your number one?
Definitely Little Drummer Boy.
That was that an album? Is that Nat King Cole?
Well, it was an album that I remember, and I can draw the cover for you. But
of
it was,
you, could.
You know, probably some made for something holiday. Okay. But it was right. The album was Little Drummer Boy,
okay.
And that was my favorite song on the album.
Right.
And ever since then,
mine was Barbara Streisand.
Oh, you're so cool.
I'm cool. Wait, did you not like it?
We're going to totally segue here. What was the first record you ever bought?
Oh my gosh! It had to be Elton John. It could have been.
See,
James
you're younger
Taylor.
Than me.
It could have been James
Mine
Taylor.
Was a 45. I saved my own money. I got a 45, so it has two sides, A
yes.
and a B side.
Right.
And the first one was Penny Lane, the Beatles, and the other side was Scarborough Fair with Art Garfunkel.
Oh, cool.
Simon, which is really weird because it's two different
artists. Oh, I
didn't
know we did that.
But probably the same record label.
Right. Exactly.
I have to look that up.
That's interesting.
But anyway, so music. I love music all the way up. I was always
you
the music
feel
go-to
music,
person.
You said.
I feel it.
You feel it.
And
like...
I've always said that, and it sounds so corny, but it's extremely visceral for me.
Well, I believe in senses, and when we open up our senses to say, oh, this feels good. I see, I hear, I taste, I smell. That's where you need to live. That's where everybody, when an environment sucks you in and pleases all five of your senses, make a career out of it. And you did, but it took you a long time.
Well, and it's why it's easy for me to pick artists that I think are going to take off, because I have to have that visceral reaction.
Right.
There's so much good music out there and so much of it's really beautiful, but I'm listening like, is this marketable?
Right.
So anyway, fast forward, I was the music go-to person in my entire life, no matter what grade I was, even in college. You know, I was always doing the soundtracks to videos for this and that. But the way I knew I was different is as I got older and started to have kids and all of that, I stayed up with music.
Mm-hmm.
I always knew who the newest bands were. That if I had an empty hour, I was always looking into that. But none of my friends were.
Right.
And even their husbands weren't anymore because everybody got busy.
Right.
And then 2003 is when iTunes launched.
Okay.
And that's the year that I'm convinced that a whole demographic of adults just went dark.
Yes.
Like we fell into an abyss because not only did they not know what albums to buy or who was the hot new artist, they didn't know how to digest the music anymore.
Or even get it. Like the technology of it.
That's
was
what
like,
I mean.
Oh, no.
They didn't know how to consume it because all of a sudden everything went digital and people were busy. And that's when.
Ooh, that's such a good light bulb moment.
Total light bulb moment. And I had been making playlists and I had been calling them Vows List. My husband came up with that name and he says, just call your CDs Vows List. So, okay.
I love that.
And
go
about
Mark.
2 years into making those and making them for more and more people and more people's parties and stuff like that, I had a light bulb moment. And I remember the day. It was a fall day and my four sons and my husband were watching football and I came downstairs, the only girl in the house, and I'm like, turn off the TV. And my arms were up and I said, I have an idea. And I have always have ideas.
Always.
So that makes people run usually.
Makes me run too.
But I'm like, I need to put all these playlists, this huge accumulation of cool music onto a website and let the public access this because more and more people were saying we really like your picks. So that's what I did. And it was
Isn't
my college
cool?
student, Peter, who called me one day from college and he's like, because I didn't know how to launch a website. This was 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And he called me one day and said, Mom, you can be an iTunes affiliate. You can hook your website to iTunes because how do you get around the licensing? I can't go to record labels and cut a deal.
Right.
So I became like the boutique store that attached to the big iTunes music store. I was the one who was like, try these bands.
Right.
Just like a boutique would say, try this outfit, right?
Right.
I'd done all the shopping and the searching and the listening for months and months on end. So that's how I launched. And then from there, like a bunch of crazy accidental things happened.
You can say accidental all you want, but I think that when you are 6 years old and you feel something so visceral, like music or anything that may be, whatever, fill in the blank for those listening, whatever that is, and it follows you, it chases you, you chase it, and suddenly you're taking your curated CDs to college with you, and now you're making playlists, and now suddenly you have this light bulb idea, like everything I've been doing is for this. And then
Absolutely.
You got smart about it. You have a husband that supports you and says, here, let me help you. You've got four cool boys that can help you be cool. But then all of a sudden, you're kind of cooler than them.
Oh, no, they'll never say that. They'll never say that.
Just tell the story about the band.
When I launched the business, they used to walk like wherever we'd go, say we're going out to dinner or something, my four boys would walk behind me and like go, is that Val from Val's List? They totally diss me. They still do.
My kids do the same thing
I mean,
to me.
I think way down, they're probably proud of me. And if they're not, at least I think they've learned a lot.
Absolutely.
Because they've watched an old-fashioned idea
right.
sort of grow the old-fashioned way. You know, I don't buy likes or I don't even know how to buy likes.
Yeah,
I don't know how to buy followers.
Yeah.
I just really am. I'm probably like a hippie in a North Shore mom's, you know, 60-year-old body.
Well, but your 60-year-old body, for the listeners who can't see you, and I will post a photo on my social.
Stop.
It's pretty gorgeous.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, I feel like a little old hag.
She's wearing white corduroy jeans, or I guess that's not right. White corduroys.
No, they're corduroy jeans.
Jeans. Jean, I think of denim and a gray cable knit sweater with her long blonde hair, and she looks adorable.
Okay, well, wait. You're in a black skull cap, the coolest glasses, the coolest shoes. We should be reversed. I'm the music industry person. I want your outfit. Super
Trust
cool.
Trust me, you're perfect.
But, you know, one of the things, though, I have to say about me is I've been very entrepreneurial since I was little, too. That's the double side of me.
Mm-hmm.
I always want to do everything the other way.
Right.
Nobody can tell me what to do. I'm not a follower.
Right.
I'm sort of proud that I'm not a follower. I'm not super out there, but I definitely think outside the box.
You do.
The minute anyone says, no, this is how we do it, I'm like, ooh, you don't know. Like, I'm probably going to now go the other way.
I've been in meetings with you. I get it. I know you. I know you.
But I think that's where the discovery comes about or the new ideas come about.
And you dream a lot. You dream in taglines. You think in taglines. I feel
I'm a super word nerd.
You're a word nerd.
Word nerd.
Right. So how does that help you with your business?
Well, one of the things I launched along the way accidentally was a music blog. I love to write, and I'm not a journalism major or anything like that, but I used to write really long letters to my cousin, Kimberly, in Indiana. Like 10-page letters.
Oh, my gosh.
All the time.
That's so cute.
And big, long, you know, letters to my one of my best friends in junior high was an exchange student in Bogota, Colombia, where, like, cocaine and drugs were being shipped here and all of that time.
Right.
And I started literally just writing long letters.
Wonderful.
But
and
often.
That is a lost art.
It's
because
a lost
we don't
art.
Need to
I'm so
anymore.
Sad. I know. But I would, like, make outlines of what I was going to talk about, and I would – and I know I would be very flowery about describing. So I think I was definitely like showing you, not telling you, which is how they tell you to write creatively.
Yes.
But somehow I parlayed that into, after a while, I'm like, there's so many crazy things going on in the music industry. And from an adult perspective, I started to have a voice to say something.
Yeah.
Because I am
and
an older person
listening.
In the industry. Yeah, and I'm an enigma. I'm this older person in the industry. No one knows where to slot me. So I'm like, I'm speaking up. No one can fire me or tell
me
I did
that?
Anything bad. So I started a music blog. It was more about life, but I always segued into music somehow. I always put a playlist at the end. And I've gotten so busy just with our events that –
You want to get back to your writing.
I so have to get back to my writing and my playlisting because that's the core.
But that's the core, right.
Yeah.
That's what makes you happy. And that's why, for me, I'm doing this. I love speaking and I love speaking and hearing stories. Stories like your letters, they are stories that should be
totally
that we should speak, that we should write. I believe that writing really is a way of not just connecting to other humans, but also a way of connecting to yourself. It's a very healing practice.
Yeah, and at first I thought, like, who wants to hear what I have to say? But I sort of write in a very self-deprecating way. Everything's funny.
As do I. And
my
I
opening
love
line's
about
like pretty
you.
Wild usually. You know, and I think they're like, whoa, she's a mom.
Whoa.
But I don't care.
And that's the thing. When you're a mom and you're 50 plus, you basically have, there are no rules. Like, hey, I've been through it.
Totally.
I can say what I want.
I know. My new tagline is, what are you going to do? Fire me from my own?
I love that.
So,
I love that.
A little bit of a loose
cannon.
You can't
be fired. So tell me you're doing these playlists and you've had this light bulb moment. And then you start to have this idea to have bands, emerging artists that you actually are finding come to your home in Winnetka, Illinois, and you have these home concerts in your living room.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
One of the things I always say I'm so lucky about is to be in the music business in Chicago because it's the middle of the country.
Oh, true.
So all of these bands who are on tour going east to west stop in Chicago.
Right.
And there's such a great music scene and so many cool smaller venues too.
Yes.
So emerging artists will track here, route here. So I was doing playlists for a long time in my house concerts and I'm sorry, in my blog.
Blog, right.
And about 5 years in, I asked one of my artists whom I loved, and he happened to live locally at the time. He moved back from Nashville. His name's Andrew Bell, singer-songwriter.
Oh, yeah.
Super cool guy, and he had a lot of songs that were starting to get song syncs on like Grey's Anatomy and some stuff like that.
Oh, that's key.
And I got brave one day. I'm really brave in this business. I do some really badass things that I sort of can't believe I do.
It's because
I'm not afraid.
In your DNA, and it is your love speaking. You can't not. There is no fear when you know you're in your purpose.
That's absolutely true, and I know that's like one of your taglines. It's not a tagline, for sure,
but it is one of my thoughts.
Well, yeah. One of your prophetic thoughts.
Okay.
So anyway, I called him one day or emailed him and said, you're playing downtown Chicago, I know, and that's so cool, but I'm going to ask you a question and you can say no. Would you ever come sing in my living room in the burbs to a different audience? And he replied immediately and said yes. And I was just like, holy crap. Now I don't even know what
right,
to do. But
right.
I thought, okay, we set a date. And it was the only time he could do was 4 p.m. on a Saturday. I'm like, oh, God, no one will come.
I think it's a good time.
It's a magic time. But yeah. we learned backwards
right.
almost. So I said, all right, I'll try to get people at 4 o'clock. So I pushed it out. And a ton of my friends replied. Everybody came. We were going to figure this out together. We had some sound equipment. So it wasn't just acoustic.
Right.
And it was a magic moment.
What year was this? Do you remember?
Well, it was 7 years ago. So it was probably like, I don't know, 2012. I launched in 2007. Yeah. So around 2012.
Okay.
I loved it. My audience loved it. And it was like I didn't want to overwhelm people. So I kept it like 1 hour.
Right.
Meet the artist after.
Start
small. I said to the artist, you can bring some CDs to sell. That will be all your money. And I told my friends, this is free. I'm giving you, a glass of wine and some chips. But it's all about the music. Like, it's not a cocktail party. So bring whomever you want. And I also told people, come if you don't know anyone. Because it's not about that.
It's not.
Like, this is not a cocktail. It's not about you.
Right.
This is about you engaging with this artist I'm bringing.
Right.
It launched like wildfire.
It did.
And then word got out on the industry side, and booking agents and managers were hearing about this. Managers were telling other artist management in their companies about this. And the bands make a lot of money.
Exactly.
Because
so tell
I ask my audience, I'm like, I'm bringing you this free, cool show. You can't buy this anywhere.
No way.
And, you may go to a house concert somewhere. Usually they're potluck. Usually they're a whole Saturday night. And usually those are like somebody's uncle knows somebody in Nashville, right?
Right.
And they bring some band. But this is like a branded thing where my whole business is discovering these new emerging artists who are sort of taking off in the industry. So these are the bands I'm inviting. They're playing downtown. They're on tour. Their music's being published on Spotify and Apple Music and stuff.
Right.
So I'm basically bringing you a downtown show up to the burbs.
2 minutes from your house.
Yeah. So everybody walks and everybody comes.
You don't have to pay for parking and
but
pay
I say to
the
– Yeah. So I say to my audience, two rules – and they know me. I'm like a Gestapo at the front of the concert. But I'm like, listen, don't talk. Even if you go to the kitchen to get more wine, don't talk over there.
Right.
I want a quiet house, quiet listening, and fill that tip jar because this is cheaper than any night going downtown or any ticket you'd ever buy. So we really encourage people, like, throw $20 in there. And they do. And
so the bands go home with like $1,000 maybe?
Yeah, they do.
Or more?
Or
maybe.
More.
Yeah.
I hand them a Ziploc baggie at the end of the night. And they weep. They weep. And they literally
so
all
sweet.
Weep. And they're like, we've never seen anything like this. We've played other house concerts, but not like this.
Right.
And they can't believe how much money. They can't believe how quiet the audience was. And then I also, because I live this industry, I'll throw in some interview questions throughout. I don't take over anything.
Right.
The artist has stage pattern. He has stories. But I might guide or throw in a question because I want to educate my audience too. So I'll throw in like a music industry thing.
Right.
And I'll explain it. And then I'll ask the artist, like, what's his take on that? And then I know my audience has gone home smarter. They know something new now.
Right.
And they can be smarter when they go. But I always say the magic begins when people leave my house, because I think that's when they start telling everybody they know about this band they saw and blah, blah, blah. So
the key is that you, what you said earlier, you don't follow the norm.
No, you're not, I'm pretty naughty.
You go different directions. Yeah. You go in every direction that feels right for you. And so you've created this niche for not only having the talent to find the bands that are up and coming and really going to make it big, but also you have this unique way of connecting with them on a level that is much different than a pushy person who wants something from them. You just want them to come and you give them this beautiful money.
That's a $1 million question, what you just said.
Yeah.
You're so smart.
I'm really not.
You know, I have a team now. I've got business partners, and they're always, any new idea I come up with, they say, how will you monetize this?
Of course.
And I've resisted. I have said to my team, I'm not monetizing the house concerts. I want the bands to make the money.
Right.
And I said, it's going to prove that I'm different in this industry, because all the players in the music industry have an agenda, and it's not their fault. It's their business
model.
It's
their business.
So the promoters need to sell, they'll use the artist to sell tickets, right? Mm-hmm. The venues will use the artist. And their relationship with the artist is to sell, you know, alcohol and tickets, and the record labels want to sell CDs and mm-hmm. albums and blah, blah, blah. And I've said for so many years, I'm going to give this away for free. I'm going to bring artist and fan together. That's my dream for my brand. And my brand is going to get a reputation for that.
Exactly.
And I believe it will serve me in the end.
It's called the Winnetka Music Fest.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
and
that's what
the
you designed.
House Concert Series. And my reputation in the industry, like, I get people's attention. I can write, you know, emails to bigwigs, and they actually reply to me because they sort of know I'm authentic.
You're different.
And I'm just real.
You're real.
I'm not trying to get anything from anybody. I usually have like a pretty authentic thing I'm asking.
Right.
And I give back a lot. So I keep saying that somewhere along the line, you know, this will, I think I'll win in the end.
You are winning already. So here you just talked about your 6-year-old Val putting on the album, little drummer boy. You go to college with your CDs. You have a soundtrack in your mind always. You have the light. You're already making playlists. You've got the light bulb moment. Oh my gosh, iTunes. Let's do this. Middle-aged people have gone dark because they can't access the technical piece. So now you're building your business. The house concert thing happens. You are a curator. You're a producer. You're getting talent. And then tell us about the music fest.
So a guy in our town named Scott Myers, who's amazing. He's a retired guy from Accenture, actually. He's a visionary. He was involved in Chicago's run for the Olympics and stuff like that. So he's a visionary, and he's also a really great operations guy. Mm-hmm. He can take 1 million people and 1 million moving parts and place them into a really high functioning mm-hmm. machine. So he came to me one day, because he comes to a lot of my house concerts, mm-hmm. and he said, how would you like to do this bigger? And I'm like, yeah, because my Valsless brand is worldwide. Mm-hmm. So my blog, and when I wrote for the New York Times and stuff, I have a worldwide audience. But my live events are mostly Chicago.
Of course.
Although we've expanded the house concert series in Denver and so on and so forth.
Like, how?
One of my business partners lives there, and she started house concerts there with her friend Daphne, who works for a radio station there.
Okay.
Anyway, they were already doing house concerts in a simpler way.
Do you book the bands?
We
do
share
they do
acts
it?
All the time.
Okay.
Like when I have them
Got
at my it. House, I send them to Denver. You know, when
Got
you're
it.
Routing to Denver, go there. I hook
right,
them up
right.
with Kirsten and Daphne, and
right.
they do the same thing. They raise a lot of money for them there. We feed the bands. The bands sleep at our houses. It's that model.
Right, right.
And I gave them, they said, send to us all of the tips of how you make the perfect house concert. And I
yeah.
said,
literally.
You guys already know how to do it, but I sent them a whole thing.
Right.
And so ours are very similar.
Right.
But the
Scott
music fest.
Comes to you.
And he goes, would you like to launch a music fest in town? And I was like, I don't think so. Because I thought envision dad bands. And yes. I love dad bands, but yeah. that's not who I work with.
It's not you.
Or cover bands. I love cover bands, but it's not who I work with. I work with established touring artists who are like hopefully playing Lala in 3 years. Okay?
Right. But then you go, and by the way, we have to talk about you taking me to Lala. We cannot forget.
All right. Well, so, somebody just write that down.
By the way, you were not believing in yourself in that moment, because what you could have said is, yes, as long as I do it my way.
Well, and sort then of did.
They did. Right.
I said, if you have a budget for me, a talent budget, and I can bring in real bands, I'll come to the first meeting. He said, come to the first meeting. So I did. I was completely sold. They were going to raise big sponsor money, get me a talent budget. And I said, and I go to a million festivals. You guys don't. Please listen to me and let me bring my vision of like what the perfect music fest would be for this audience. Cause I know, you know, I take a list of everything I don't like at the big festivals. And then that's where I started this festival.
Right.
Cause this is a suburban family friendly festival.
Fourth year. How has it grown?
Well, the first year was a no name festival. So how do you launch that?
Right.
Well, the Vowsless brand carried it a little and agents gave us, you know, the time of day.
How many bands did you have?
We had probably 21 bands, two main stages, a chapel stage and a family stage, which is really important because we have young families.
Yes, you've got it all. Cover
and I think
all.
Like 11,000 people came. It was free. Year two was free. You know, I think 13,000 people came. Last year, we ticketed it a little bit because if we lose money, we're the ones taking the risk. This is not my village doing this.
Right.
This is Vowsless just presenting this, but we're working with the village, and the village and us get along great, and they love what we're doing. It's a partnership, but we take the risk. So if it pours rain,
you're done.
We still have to pay the band, so that's not going to be a cool situation for Vowsless. So at this point now, we're asking, you know, a very small ticket fee. So last year it was $20 to get in. The first night was free. The second day was free. But for the Saturday night headliners, we wanted $20. This year it's going to be a ticketed weekend event.
And
it's 28 bands.
28
bands. And I'm in the middle of booking now. I'm sort of, I love this. And it's crazy at the same time.
It's your show day. It's like right now, it's like everything.
It's totally it's like, you with the clipboard.
Yeah. Yes. It's like you've got it all going. The pressure is on, but you're talented, you're skilled, you're ready. And you feel the electricity of, this is it. I'm booking all the bands. 28
bands, probably. We still have the same number of stages. And, The thing that's going on now, though, is these little boutique festivals are popping up all over.
Yeah.
And we're all vying for a lot of the same artists.
Right.
And so I can, you know, and it's summer festivals. So starting from May, which is Bonnaroo, I think Bonnaroo's May in Tennessee, all the way to, you know, Outside Lands in San Francisco in September, October. That whole time frame, that's showtime for bands.
Right.
They're all on tour, summer festivals, and big competition.
Right.
And, you know, the band's fees go up in this for summer festivals and everything.
Exactly. So you've got 28 bands. Tell the listeners what date it is. You said Father's Day?
Father's Day weekend. So this year it's June 19 and 20.
Okay.
We are Friday night and an all-day Saturday fest, not Sunday. But Chicago in June
is the only time to be here.
It is the time to be here. So, I mean, if I could tell anybody, come do a family vacation here. Come to our festival.
So great.
We're right on the lake.
Yeah,
it's
if you're
so
listening
great.
And you live out of town, you always want to come to Chicago, come that weekend and come to Vowsless Winnetka Festival.
Winnetka Music Festival.
It's
yep.
So fabulous. So since you avoided the question of who's your favorite new emerging artist. You probably can't say who you've booked, right? You haven't, that's not out yet, right?
Well, sure I can.
So then let me ask. Oh, I can't ask that. That would be unfair. Who are you excited about that's coming?
So we haven't booked a lot for this year yet. We have a lot of offers out. So those I can't talk about right now. One is a very new singer-songwriter from my hometown in Ohio, from Canfield, Ohio. His name's J.D. Eicher. Okay. I've booked him already. He literally sounds like James Blunt. He's super gorgeous and hot. Like the moms in town are going to go crazy.
I literally love every band you book.
And like, he's just really smart and really funny. So he did a house concert at my house last week.
Right.
We had 120 people on a Tuesday night in my house.
It's amazing.
And it was this magical night. And so his stage patter, those are the stories in between songs. His stage patter is like witty and whip smart and funny. And yet then he sings these songs. He's a great songwriter. So his songs are not sophomoric. They're deep. And it feels like he gets you and he says what you need to say in a song. So
tell me his name again.
J.D. Eicher. E-I-C-H-E-R. And you got to look at one of his videos. He has a funny video on YouTube called, I think it's called You've Got to Know or something like that, where he's making fun of himself in the video. He's in a swimming pool
with
zinc oxide on his nose. It's hilarious. I love that song. Last year we had an artist. The minute I heard the first note of this guy, Spencer Ludwig, I'm like, I said to my talent buyers, book this guy and don't lose him.
So what's he doing now?
Well, first of all, he's this gorgeous guy. He's like a cross between Prince and Michael Jackson. He's this eclectic, skinny, gorgeous guy with, like, half the time he has white hair and half the time he has black hair. And he plays the trumpet.
Oh.
And he dances. He has this, he dances around the stage with this trumpet. So we got him. And he's the kindest, most darling guy. He was so excited to play our festival. He headlined Friday night. He had the crowd around his little finger. The magic that went on between the stage and the audience that night, you can't buy that.
You can't.
That has
you
to organically happen.
That magic is.
So guess what? Halfway after we booked him, so we were promoting last year for our fest in June, he got named the new face of Tommy Hilfiger.
Oh, this is the one you're telling me about.
You can't.
Of course.
How lucky is that? So he's a doll. Follow him, Spencer Ludwig. He is going to be super famous.
That's what you do. You find these gems, and then suddenly they have, music on commercials or
I know.
Netflix
or you hear
series.
Them on the radio when you're driving. Well, one of them now. So this is a sad story. There's a band called Camp from Columbus, Ohio, and they're spelled C-A-A-M-P.
Okay.
And I've been following them since they were beginning. I've had them at my house a few times. They did a house concert. They stay at my house when they come through Chicago.
Love that.
They are skyrocketing so fast now. I can't even afford them at my own festival.
Oh,
they're too expensive.
Don't they give you a vows list deal?
You're
a pioneer. They should prorate it.
Well, we have to talk to Amy Kaplan because she's their manager.
Oh, she is. That's awesome.
They're skyrocketing right now. And their song Peach Fuzz is all over satellite radio and probably XRT and all of the AAA stations.
Well, I hope everyone's taking notes because you're giving us all. This is why you keep us cool. This is cool.
Well,
so
and you
cool.
can find my playlist on Spotify, and I do, I catalog all these that I'm talking about, and I put them into playlists that you can just stream know about all these guys super easily. So
cool. I have only been to the festival the first year because I literally have been out of town all three or the
June's
two
hard.
More.
Beginning of June's hard.
So I will be in town for this one. I can't wait. I worked the festival the first time with you. You put me on stages. I was like, yes, I'm back. I'm in production. I've got a headset on. I've got a radio. I'm good. I was like waiting for something big to solve. So it was really, really fun. And what I enjoyed most was just talking to the bands. They're all so nice. And what I loved was seeing you on the stage representing the band, representing the brand, not the band.
And the band.
And the bands. But I kept saying, I want you on the stage every time. I'm like, Val, you are the brand. I want to see only you. And you're like, I'm one person.
They push me. My team pushes me up. They want me to introduce every single act.
I do too.
And I do because I'm like the band's mom.
They
call me Mama Palooza because I care about them so much. And I care that the stage is full, that there's a million people out there watching them.
But is such a big, important thing to you, which I think is so why I also love you.
They're half of my equation.
Yes, they are.
It's
you
the
can't,
bands,
you
can't and I can't do anything without
the fans.
Have a
show without an audience. And I love the way you produce your audience. As an audience producer, I see that the way you do it. It is all ages, ethnicities. It's just everything. It's like, I don't like music. I like music. I only like hip-hop, and I only like, pop.
But you know what? You brought up a great point. I'm trying to be the music brand for the people, for the everyday person.
Right.
There's a lot out there for the super fan.
We
all know where we can go and what music websites to go look at and follow. But I think that's only 25% of the population. I think 75% of the people out there are just regular music lovers.
Right.
It's like, don't tell me the name of the band. I'll never remember. I'm probably not going to go downtown to a show. But I want to know those bands, and I want those bands on my playlist at my party. So how do I get that?
We're so busy. You are making it so completely efficient for us busy people.
Right. And trying to make you hip and let you know a couple new bands so you're not always playing, you know, Beach Boys or James Taylor at your parties, which are great, but
wonderful.
There's so much new music.
There's so much new music. I love that you say on your website you are distinctly human, well, that Val's List is distinctly human music curation.
Yeah.
Who came up with that word, word nerd?
My team came up with that. Actually, my oldest son came up with that. He's super brilliant and he's super into what I do. He lives in Berkeley and he has a website startup there. They're living that Silicon Valley thing out there.
Right.
But he actually built our website. And one thing, the buzzword nowadays in the music industry is human, because
it's been that way in every industry. It's in my book title. I love it. Human.
But there was an interruption in the music business, and that was algorithm. And that's the opposite. That's the computer.
Yes.
That's the computer side of it. So like Pandora, which I love, they ask you, what kind of music do you like or who do you like?
Right.
And then they have a computer algorithm that generates then 12 more songs that sound like that. So that's one way to discover music. It's a genius way.
Genius.
And I love Tim Westergren of Pandora. I'm the opposite. I don't use any computers to figure out what you might like.
Right.
Human picker. I'm listening to all the new bands out there going, that one sounds like Bob Dylan. I think people would like that, you know, or that one or that one has this new electronic ambient vibe that a lot of people might not know about now. Let's put that on my list. So I'm the human being picking every track on my list. So, and now the industry's coming sort of back around to the human DJ.
You know what?
You know, because the computer's sexy and stuff, but it can't tell you everything. And after a while, it starts to get boring because then it all starts to sound rote.
It's not unexpected. It's just expected.
So I'm really proud of the human side. And I have a big team that helps me now. I don't let most of my team touch the music side. I'm still sort of like a little sound bitch there.
That's okay.
I mean, I love hearing like, what do you think, or who do you like, or who are you listening to? But whatever goes on my list, I gotta
love. That's your jam. That's you. You can't. You're the brand. You're the picker.
Right.
You are the human who took me to Lollapalooza, and you took me to see, I can't remember the full name,
Greta Van Fleet.
Okay, I always call that band Greta Van Susteren, but that's okay.
People call me Valerie. People call me Valerie. It's Valerie Haller is my name. They call me Valerie Harper or Van Halen sometimes.
Well, so Van Halen isn't, or it, is Van Greta, Halen's, but the Greta Van
Fleet
band sounds like
they're sounding like Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin, not Van Halen. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Led Zeppelin. They were awesome.
So let's talk about being human beings at Lollapalooza with all the other human beings at age 50.
My thing is, I wore Spanx. I have children who've gone to Lollapalooza. I have girls. You have boys. I have one boy. I know what the drama is of what to wear, what tube top, what bralette, what short ass panty. You should see the trains, the kids going. You see them getting on the trains with all their booty hanging out. And so now at 57, I went. It was the first time I'd had tickets years ago, and I had a little detour, couldn't do, sold my tickets, and I'm like, I am going to Lollapalooza.
You said it was a bucket list.
With Val Haller.
So I picked you up, and I said to you, but we're not going VIP.
Right.
We're going in the fields with the kids.
Right.
And I said, I won't push you deep into the crowds, because I don't like to be deep in the crowds either.
I don't either.
But when I picked you up, you had the cutest outfit in the world on.
I was wearing Spanx.
No, I didn't pick you up. I met you there.
Oh.
And when you walked in, you had the cutest outfit on. I'm like, oh, God.
We have cute pictures from that day. I'll post when we'll post that on social. But let me just say, I didn't just go one day. I went 4 days. And by the fourth day,
it was like 100 degrees.
Oh, Val, I'll see you there. Like, maybe I will, maybe I won't. Like, I was like, oh, you got this. But you taught me. You gave me the confidence. And I think that for anyone, all I thought about was teenage, drunk kids in a crowd. No, thank you. In 100 degrees in Chicago. But
I think it was different on the other side.
So different. I loved going with you. And so if you want to do something, find someone that's cool and interesting in your life that can bring you with them. And then suddenly you're the expert 2 days later and you're like, cool, I got this.
Well, and I've done a couple of years where I've taken groups of 50 to Lala. And one of the things I do first is I prep you beforehand. So I give you lists.
Talk about vows list. It is a Lollapalooza vows list.
I know. Yes. I should put that out every, you know, summer fest
season. And then your little backpacky or fanny pack
it's
of
like
what
to bring. What to bring, what not to bring. That's equally as important.
Remember Go Girl?
Oh, yeah.
I used it the whole time.
Those are the urinals.
Tell the people about Go Girl.
Okay, so Go Girl are these little, they come in rubber, plastic, or paper, disposable. They're like little funnels that you use to pee in standing up.
They're
so if you have to go into a porta potty, you don't have to touch anything or anything.
It's
you just do that and
you go
to the bathroom like a guy.
It's awesome.
And then you throw it away.
And you think you're going to get it all over you and you don't.
No, you don't.
I was putting the, I don't know how I actually rinsed it because mine was not paper. It was plastic.
I know, but you had a Ziploc bag and you shove it back in there and you don't care about stuff like that till you get home. You wash everything.
Right.
But so I prep you and I give you names of bands like, listen to this band. We're going to go see them. We're going to go see them. And I tell you what to bring and what not to bring. And I also work really hard to tell you what to expect.
Right.
And because I think most adults are just afraid to walk in the gate.
Totally afraid.
They think they're going to walk into a mosh pit and it's so not that, especially if you go early.
It can be, but you don't have to be in that.
Yeah, no. And, you know, we steered clear of the EDM stage, the electronic dance stage. I take you by there so you can see it.
to see Perry's because I've known about it from my kids. But we actually, my husband and my daughter, Maren, met me, and we went and saw Bruno Mars, and I got deep into the crowd, and I didn't care. His performance was phenomenal.
Yeah, you were brave then.
Well, I had my husband with me, so that wasn't so bad. But phenomenal.
I know. When you go deep, we call it going deep because I tend to stay back or I'll go on stage left or right, way to the side, and you can still see the stage really well, but you're not like in the mosh pit.
Yeah.
If you're brave enough to go in the mosh pit or say for a big headliner that you've always wanted to see, you really become one with the fan, the fans.
It's a nice group.
And it's actually like sort of calm in there. It's a weird ish.
Yeah.
But once the music starts going, you're like this live cell.
I know. You're all moving together. I, of course, spotted the where they set up all the cameras and the jib and the equipment, and so they have a whole production area and the audio board and the lights, and so I knew the camera operators. So I was I was next to his fence so that if it went crazy, I was going to leap over the fence and go into his area. So this is how my mind thinks.
For moms, I mean, for any adult, I think boomers or adults, number one fear is claustrophobia.
Yeah.
I know you say it's speaking. Speaking's first, but claustrophobia, because I interviewed so many adults about going to a big music festival. And the first thing is, can't stand the crowds.
Right.
Can't stand the crowds.
Well, and we're
so you gotta
in Chicago,
have your escape
and there's
route.
A lot of scary things to think about. No one's going through are we going through mags? Oh, we are going through mags. Yeah. We go through magnetometers at Lollapalooza, so that's
good.
Yeah,
they have to do that now, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
As long as you have an exit strategy, and the thing about Lolla that's so great, it's in the middle of our downtown. So if you want to leave and go to a Starbucks and come back, you can. If you're in, if you're at Bonnaroo or some of the more, you're in a field somewhere, it's not as easy to exit for a minute. But
where does your confidence come from? I took a detour.
My heart.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And that wasn't a preloaded question.
No.
You caught me there.
I know. I totally caught you.
But the loud and clear is my heart.
Yeah.
Like I didn't even have to think. That's so weird.
Yeah. No, it's obvious to me, but that's a great answer.
Yeah. I just feel like, if I'm this passionate about something, just go for it.
Yeah.
There's always haters and they're always skeptics.
Well,
you know,
you gotta get through that because people must roll their eyes all the time at me. I know my kids do, but they love me. I'm sure your kids
do
the same.
Oh my
and
God.
it's hard for us midlifers out there doing cool things. And we're, it shouldn't be because you get older that you can't do cool things and you can't do your dreams. For me, I am like the time is like the clock is like, go, go, go. I want to write a book. I want to write another book.
I want to
do my podcast. I want to
speak. You know what I always say, like, I hope I'm going to live a long time because I still have a whole bunch more to do.
Whole bunch to do.
It's, I love my four boys and they've been so supportive of me. But they know me as their mom.
Right.
So I'm always dancing across this Catholic school guild or something. Right. But I'm a mom first.
Right.
I'll always be a mom first.
And your grandmother.
And I'm a grandma now. Maggie, she's Maggie. Two. But so I don't ever want to rub their nose in too much what I'm doing.
Right.
I would rather show them the casserole I made.
Exactly.
Than tell them like what band stayed in our house last night.
Because
honestly.
You're cool. But tell the listeners, because I heard you do this on the radio show, tell the listeners about the story about the emerging artist who was this. Tell the story.
Well, it's a double story. One of my sons called me from college once and said, "Mom, there's a band you have to know about." And I said, "Who?" And he said the name, and I said, "Oh, I've got them on a playlist. I put them on a playlist last year." That son, I think, was mad at me for like a year because he didn't get to be the one to – a kid wants to tell their mom or their parent, for God's sake, what new band. So I made a note to myself, I'm never doing that again. And if they say a band now, I sort of act like I haven't heard of it.
Ooh,
and I just roll over.
You are a mom first. I wouldn't be able to do that. I'd be like, oh, please.
I know, you're great.
Please, I know that.
You have daughters. I have boys.
I guess
they're
that's
just
true.
Like, they're sweet.
You have
they're
to handle them differently.
And, yeah, they don't dish it back to me. So, but then one day last year, my oldest son – called me up, and you know, he's got a daughter now and he's been married a couple of years and stuff like that. And he goes, "Mom, have you ever heard this band called Darling Side?" And I go, "Andrew, yep, I have. And they've slept in your bed." And he was like, "What?" Because these bands who play house concerts for me sleep over.
Right.
And
right.
we eat with them and we have breakfast with them. So, but that was pretty funny.
That's the best. That is the touche mom moment.
I know. And I didn't mean to just touche him.
You
but
had to.
It just rolled out.
You
I'm like,
had
damn,
to.
I did it again.
That's
I didn't
okay.
mean to, you know, but yeah, the band stay at our house and we get so much talking done.
That's why you're different. Nobody's opening up their houses. And for the music festival, you have all of your friends, of which you've asked me and this year. Can I do it, please? Because I'm in town.
Absolutely. Well, it's not even our
you
friends.
You host the bands. No,
it's families people, in our town. Right. A lot of boomers who have empty rooms are we'd love to host a band.
Would love it.
And we tell you how because the bands they don't want to be overwhelmed.
Right.
They're introspective and quiet and, you know. They might want to write or sleep or nap, so you got to let them alone a little.
Alone.
But when we tell the booking agents the bands stay in host family homes, they're like, "What?"
What?
I think they think it's couch surfing.
Yeah,
like
no,
in some.
Very different.
We're like, no, it's a little
Winnetka.
Different. Yeah, you might stay at a house on the lake,
right?
Or you know, and these families like adopt these bands as their kids and tell them, "You can stay at our house. Whenever you come through Chicago for infinity, we're adopting you."
Right, so it's not just a one-time deal, just like you.
I know.
If a band is coming through, they're going to stay at your house anyway, whether they perform or not.
Exactly. I tell the band, you know what? We're not your sexy audience. We're not downtown at Shuba's like, but we're your lucrative audience.
We're your paying audience.
Lucrative.
Right. Lucrative.
We're like the patrons of the arts.
Right.
We grew up listening to music and paying for it.
Right.
The kids are really important. My kids are a very important audience to these bands, but they're not buying CDs.
Right.
And they're
no.
And a lot of them are probably, you know, talking and making noise during the show.
So that's what I want to talk about before, because we only have a few minutes left. So, and I want to get a couple quick questions. So a couple minutes on your Just Listen tagline and what it means to you.
So funny. My best friend growing up is a big PR person. And way back when I launched Vows List.
Or is that your sister?
Well, I have a couple best friends from growing up, Becky, Denise, Amy. Denise is a big PR person. She helped me come up with that tagline. I love taglines.
I know you do.
I am a word nerd,
obsessed.
Which I told you. And my kids are like, if you come up with another tagline, they're going to talk about taglines at my funeral for sure.
So
it might just be a list.
That's why I love you. Are there other people
taglines,
out there? Please let us know if you dream in taglines because I can't. That's
taglines
how people
are everything.
Count sheep before they go to sleep. I literally was last night because I want to do a second book called Joke and I'm trying to think of the tagline. So if anyone knows.
Oh, I will so help you.
Okay.
No,
and today I was like, Joke. Or die. I was like, oh, wait, that's already there. Funny or die. Okay. Oh, whoops.
So Denise came up with this tagline when we were sort of brainstorming, Just Listen. And we adopted it. And 12 years later, it's still Just Listen. We have other taglines like Playlists for Busy People and all that kind of stuff. But Just Listen, no matter how the business has grown, whether it's a live event or a playlist or my blog, it's Just Listen. Just listen to the words, listen to the lyrics, listen to the show. So killer tagline.
Love it.
And it is sort of like, just go listen. Denise. Even if you don't know what my music sounds like or what we do, like, just listen.
Right. So when you are at your house concert, you ask people to
just listen.
Just listen.
I do.
And it can be a little like, what? What are you talking about? But why is that important to you?
Well, I tell people at my house concerts, when you hear a quiet show, a listening show, you'll never want a noisy show again.
Right.
You will
and
be converted.
And it's not because you're old, right?
Absolutely not. Because okay. I've got young people in my audience too. It's because music was meant for listening. You know, and music's like one of the only things left anymore where you buy it, you pay for a ticket, and then you go in and then you talk really loudly. Like, you wouldn't do that at a speaker series or a seminar. But with music, you add alcohol and you add friends and you add groove and you add a beat. And then all of a sudden, American audiences especially have gotten really sloppy.
Right.
We're really rude.
Right.
European audiences are not.
Right.
And every band I talk to tells me that.
Right.
So somehow we've just gotten a little bit too we've gotten me-centric. Or we've gotten like, we have to document this show instead of be at the
show.
Well,
that's the other problem.
Do
you also have phones away?
I don't care as much about that, but I'm like, don't watch the whole live show through your phone.
Exactly.
But one of my newest taglines is engage with the stage.
I love that.
And that's sort of like a brutally, you know.
I love it's
a call to action.
The lean in, the listen, engagement.
You are
really thinking about your audience as much as you are thinking about your band.
Yeah. If you're talking during a song, whether you're listening to it live or whatever, you're only hearing half the song. You're hearing the melody and the beat.
Yeah.
You're not hearing the lyrics.
Right.
And some of these artists have so much to say.
They're too good, right?
They're too good.
How is love speaking to you today? That's supposed to be my first question. I never get to it till the end. It's got to now be my last. But it's not going to be your last.
Well, it's pretty damn magical that Sally Lou Loveman is speaking to me with headphones and these very cool mics.
Can we live here?
Like those big disc mics.
I know. Can we live here?
It's like really,
we just belong
the gift of gab. We would never shut up. How love speaking to me today? Actually, I'm loving myself today, and I'm loving my business team who supports me.
That's so great.
Because my business is really, it's growing a lot, and we've had a lot of growing pains, more with me, because as I've gotten busier with the operation side of the events, my passionate side, like writing and playlisting, has faltered a little. And
now
I'm on this big campaign this fall to bring back my blog, bring back my playlists, get in my quiet head again.
And your team
allows those guys.
Your team allows you to do
and
that because they pick up where you...
Well, and they tolerate me because I've got like two suits and a suit and a half on my seat, and then I'm the hippie. I call them the suits and I'm the hippie. They hate when I do that. But they have to run the business side.
Right.
And I'm this whirling dervish
I know. A team is what we all need. I work without a team. I have a few people that I hire out from time to time, and Julie, who runs my website, who I love and adore. And Allie, who's helped me, she's my millennial must, and she's helped me so much with branding. And now I've got a publicist helping me with a book. And suddenly I'm like, oh my God, I kind of have a team. And I love it because
you have a killer team.
You need a team to pitch your stuff that you don't want to do. And so that you can get to the meat and potatoes of what you do. So that's, I'm loving that your
team
is growing.
I need a team who lets me do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so my husband and my business partners, they're like, we'll take care of the other. You go do what you need to do. And then my kids and their wives who love me even with this crazy life I do and let me be a mom at the same time. I mean, honestly, I can't do it without
life
all of their support.
Life is good, Val Haller. Life is good.
Oh, it's a little nuts.
That's what makes me really attracted to you, because you're so positive. You're such a creative. You say yes to most things, and you just are in it. You are engaged. You are engaged in everything you do, which is whether it's being a mom or being a hippie or being, you know, a mama palooza.
One little last thing.
Yeah.
As I changed one word in my vocabulary literally last week. As I've gotten a little bit crazy with my schedule and we moved this year and stuff.
Right.
My voice was always saying like, I have to do this. I have to do this. And one morning I laid in bed and I'm like, no, you get to do this.
Ooh.
And I had a big dental appointment that day, and I'm like, I have to go to – no, you get to go to the dentist.
Right. Someone can
you get
fix
to
your
have,
teeth.
You get to have an idea when you're 50 and do something about it.
Right.
You get to be a woman in America.
Wow.
Who's lucky enough to be able right. to go. I don't know.
It's true. You I get think
it's
not
like
have
the grateful
to.
Thing, but I get to do some of these things. And we
great.
All, I think if we change the word in our head.
What a nice shift. That's a great,
might
great
be a great
tip.
Way to look at things.
I'm going to work on that. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I haven't told you this, and I don't have the story straight, but I'll just tell you the feeling I had. I was at an event at in Highland Park at the Day House Working. I'm saying this wrong, but it's a great, wonderful space
for kids.
Women to work. No, it's oh. for it's a there's a term for it that I'm not coming up with, but it's a, you know, it's like a WeWork, but it's a boutique and it's
I was
wonderfully
confusing
local.
It with the one they launched for kids after school.
No,
sorry.
No.
Okay.
And there was a panel there, and I was there at a wonderful new platform that a friend of mine launched called Next Collective. And there was a woman speaking on the panel, and she was talking about her mentor. And she was talking about you.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
And my whole body, I don't remember her name. She's young, and I want to say she worked at Spinergy, which is a
could it be
spin.
Sharon Riley?
Probably.
Who works
really
with me?
Cute and young, and she works with you. And she asked you
oh
for coffee,
my.
And you said yes. And it's always been her. I have chills right now. It's always been her thing that she's always making playlists for people. Probably at 6 years old.
Oh my god!
And she
I love
went
her.
To your music festival, and she went. I need to meet this woman. And she called you. She was daring. She was brave.
She wrote me an email. Now
okay.
I remember. She wrote me an email, and the subject line was, "What have I got to lose?"
Yes, that's the girl.
That's
the girl.
Sharon Riley.
That's
she
Sharon
works
Riley.
With me now. She's one of
I
my.
Know.
She's one of
she
my bookers.
Me. So she's telling the story, and then she's talking about it, and I'm like, she has to be talking about Val Haller. And then she said your name finally, and I was like, I got up
oh
to her at the end.
God.
I go, you have no idea, she's my friend, and I totally get it. But how wonderful! She's got nothing to lose. She emails you, and you say yes. What did I just say? You say yes. You're engaged, and now this woman, who
wow.
would God. Never be able to work in the music business because she has no connections. Came to your music festival and said, this is what I want to do. It feels good to me. And she feels music like you do. If she didn't, you wouldn't have her booking.
She totally. Oh, she's the best. She's so creative
How cool
and fun.
Is that?
But it was the what have I got to lose? It was that raw.
Yeah.
Like
it's like she was speaking your language.
That's what made me notice her email out of millions of others.
Well, you're supporting
her. You know,
her,
do things the other
means,
way.
Right. You're supporting her and. How great is that? I was just had the chills all over my
oh
body
my
when
God,
she was
Sally,
talking.
I'm
so that
so,
was really
I have to
cool.
call her when I leave.
Yeah, you do. And I've been meaning to tell you, so I had to have a podcast to tell you. But I like that you're just finding out for the first time. We are going to be ending. I know. I knew. We can't even have phone calls that are 5 minutes. So I knew the hour would go fast. I'm so grateful that you are here. But really quick lightning round of what you love the most, because this is Love Speaks. What is speaking to you? Your favorite season that you love?
Fall.
Of course. Sweaters.
Yes.
I know.
Covering the cellulite.
Covering everything. Favorite type of music that you love? Not band.
I would say right now, electronica.
Ooh, what is that? Not EDM?
No, it's different than EDM. EDM's more dance, electronic dance pop. Electronica is a little bit ambient chill, but it's electronic. There's something about it. I love to write to it when it's playing in the background.
Okay.
It's a calming
How
factor.
How do I find that on Spotify?
You can look up that genre. There's so many hybrid genres now, but you can look up electronica. And
electronica.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm going to do that.
As
and then
one.
Spencer, and I've got a whole list.
You do. And I have a list too, so you can tap into more there.
Val's list. what is your favorite word that you love to say and use?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, there's so many.
Probably idea.
Idea.
I bet you.
Okay. Launch is a word.
Launch is a word.
You're always launching something.
I am. Yeah. And people probably want, they'll run if they hear me say launch.
Launch. Do you watch TV ever or
I'm
stream?
Watching more TV. I love
what are you loving?
At night. Mark and I are starting to eat dinner on TV trays and
I
watch our
it.
Show. So right now,
you're 100% old.
And because I'm not so a follower, I'm always behind. I'm always like a couple seasons behind.
Yes, me too.
So right now we're watching Shameless.
Oh, that's good.
Holy crap. That thing is so wound up.
I know.
You know, and then if you dare say, let's watch the next one, I'm almost half nauseous because it's so wound up.
I know. But you can't stop that Netflix. It's just like, okay, let's go.
It's just like reading a book. I love these mini series and stuff like that because it's just like, I got to get to that next chapter.
Right.
But we really are enjoying our TV in the evenings now.
That's nice. What do you love the most about yourself?
Oh, gosh. Having a different idea, probably. That's probably boring.
Not being expected.
Yeah.
Being unexpected. That's my favorite word. But probably just doing it your way.
Actually, I'm going to take that one back.
Okay.
I forget what the question was, but what do I...
What do you love the most about yourself?
I love my mothering.
Oh.
That's
nice.
I love my mothering.
Okay.
So my and mothering to my kids.
How old are your
kids
now?
They're 28 up to 32. Wow. I have four boys, 32, 30, and two 28-year-olds.
Let me tell you all, if you could just be in this room, you have no idea. You look like you're 25. You act like you're 25. And that is what keeps you young and keeps you vibrant and keeps you in business and keeps people coming to you. So Val's List, please, everybody go to valslist.com to check out Val Haller. Where else can we find you? On Instagram and all
everywhere.
Of those things?
Is it Instagram, Twitter, at Facebook, all at Val's List.
At Val's List. Wonderful.
And Spotify. That's a biggie.
Yeah.
We're cleaning up a lot of those playlists and bringing back some oldies. So Spotify, Apple Music, you can find us everywhere.
Okay. So now you've been Val-listed, which I also love. You've been Val-listed. And you have a trip coming up to come to Chicago, listeners, on June the 19th, right? Father's Day weekend. Mm-hmm. And you have people to look up, which is, you mentioned Spencer. Say his
Spencer
name again.
Ludwig.
Spencer Ludwig.
J.D. Eicher.
J.D. Eicher with his video.
Camp,
in the pool.
C-A-A-M-P. Camp. And they played on, not Jimmy Fallon, but they played on one of the late night shows the other night. I'm like, oh, we'll never get them at our festival.
Never.
They're too big.
They need a Val's List price.
They do.
So you've been Val listed. You're cool now. So am I, because guess what? I have been Val listed. I feel like I've known you forever. It's been 2 years. I feel like you're my childhood friend, and thank you for being my new friend, who is the oldest friend I have. Thank you so much, Val.
Thank you, Sally Lou. Loved it.
Thank you. I have loved speaking with you today, and I want to speak with you more. So follow me on all of my social platforms at Live Love Speaks on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you want more stories like the stories we speak here on the Love Speaks series podcast, go to lovespeaks.com and pick up a copy of my new book, Speak. Love your story, your audience is waiting. To step up your speaking game and your human game, check out my blog while you're there.
Sally Lou Loveman is a mom, speaker, author, former audience producer for The Oprah Winfrey Show, and founder of Love Speaks. Each week, Sally Lou and her crew have a conversation about how love speaks in their lives and how it can speak in yours. From kindness to composting, no topic is off limits. If you need a community to kickstart your heart, you need the Love Speaks series.
Thanks for listening. Your love speaks.